The content shared on Your Life, Your Wealth Network reflects the views of the host and guests of the program only and are not necessarily the views of Cordasco Financial Network or its advisors. This media production is educational in nature and should not be construed as financial, legal, or tax advice or a solicitation or presentation of sale of any financial products or services. Please consult a professional prior to making any financial, tax, or legal decision.
Welcome to the Your Life, Your Wealth Network, helping you find clarity and comfort for your life and wealth.
Hey, welcome to the Your Life, Your Wealth show. I am John Walker behind the mic this week and really excited to have this conversation today and welcome in a really wonderful guest who I'll get to introduce momentarily. We get the question asked to us from clients and friends alike all the time around trusts. Do I need a trust? People are always surprised that my answer is typically maybe, right? Because it's not really a reassuring answer. And there's sort of this unknown about what a trust does, how it can help you, or maybe an illusion that trusts are really only for really wealthy people. I don't have enough money. I don't need that. So we're going to dive into it. And I'm thrilled to welcome in a wonderful guest to help me with this conversation. We're going to be joined today by Jeremiah Barlow, who's the head of Family Wealth Services from our new partners at Mercer Advisors. So really excited to bring in one of my new colleagues here to join me for this conversation. Jeremiah leads the centralized advanced planning teams at Mercer, including running their estate planning, tax planning, insurance solutions, financial planning, and trust services. So part of the reason you know that we were thrilled to join Mercer and add some of these value-added services to our team and the complement of services we can bring to people we work with is because of folks just like Jeremiah. He's certainly a subject matter expert in this. And when he's not interviewing with the Wall Street Journal or Bloomberg or Kiplinger, he's going to help us out by tackling topics like this today. So Jeremiah, thank you so much for joining me.
Absolutely, John. Thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to talking about a trust and estate planning and all that comes with it.
Absolutely. And I'm sure you get this question too. When people know what we do for a living, right? They even pose it at, you know, cocktail parties, if those things still exist anymore. But certainly with the people that we work with, it's the, what's the best way for me to structure things, not only for my estate, but how do I handle all of this if something happens to me? And so a trust can be a really valuable tool to help answer a lot of those questions.
Absolutely. It is probably one of the most common questions that I've had over my 15 plus years in the industry. My background being an estate and tax attorney, I spent the better part of my career working with clients about this exact topic and trying to help them navigate that it's not just for the wealthy. It's not just for the Rockefellers, for the Vanderbilts, the people that kind of roll off the tongue for a wealthy individual. It's really for the everyday individual that has a couple of nuanced pieces to their life that they want to make sure passes on to the next generation in the best way possible. To your point, it's the maybe, right?
It is. And so I think it's really critical for our listeners to understand that estate planning for some people doesn't really have to go beyond a will, right? But for many, there are a lot of scenarios where a trust could really become essential. We'll start jumping into some of these that people might not realize where a trust might be a good solution for them. One of the things that we often have questions around is, what if something happens to me? Particularly since, you know, I'll steal Steve Cordasco's line, there's an 83% chance that you will cognitively or physically decline and need some level of assistance, right? So we talk a lot with folks about late life planning, not just end of life planning, late life planning. And part of that, of course, might be long-term care needs and other health concern needs. But part of that is about maintaining control or the right mechanisms of control around your wealth. And a trust might be a really valuable tool to do that.
Absolutely. And a lot of people think about the trust as that end-of-life tool. And it absolutely does that, John. But what most overlook is what you're getting at. And that is this incapacity piece. A revocable trust is when you create it, you're the owner of it. You don't give up control. It's still operating under your social security number. You don't file a separate tax return. It's still roll. You know, everything stays on your 1040. For all intents and purposes, the IRS considers it you. But the beautiful part about it is when you properly create a trust and put all your assets into it, although you still own it, it allows it for a very easy transfer. If say you get in a car accident and you're in a coma for 3 months, and somebody needs to step in and handle your affairs, the trustee can actually be set up so you have a successor trustee, which is really just the person controlling things. So they can step in and handle your affairs quickly without having to go to court, without having to get a doctor's note to say that you're incapacitated. The trustee role is very efficient in that. And quite frankly, a lot of people say, well, I've got all my affairs taken care of. I've got my power of attorney. I've got my beneficiary designations. But the issue is we're finding out more and more institutions, both financial and healthcare, not honoring powers of attorney because they're too old or they're not applicable to their state because they moved from, you know, Pennsylvania to Florida and they forgot to update their documents within a couple months or a year of moving. So these documents are not being honored, whereas a trust is universally applicable across the country. So as long as your assets are in the trust and you have a successor in place, that person can actually step in and handle your affairs without having to worry about an institution saying it's good or not. So it's very valuable.
What a really critical point. We have a lot of people who have moved or who have multiple residencies. And one of the things that we do on an annualized basis is always sort of as our spring cleaning checkup is to make sure beneficiaries are titled properly because things change, right? People may have passed away. People may have gotten married or divorced or whatever, right? So a critical component of this, as I'm hearing you say, is some of your estate planning documents may need to also be updated accordingly. And one of the levers of control that you can utilize is a trust to ensure that a lot of these potential pitfalls, legal, probate, other things, aren't really applicable to you. Is that right, Jeremiah?
100%. You can use that trust document to achieve your goals, and we can draft it however you want to help ensure that everything works efficiently. Because the way I like to talk about it with clients is everybody has an estate plan, even if you haven't created one yourself. It just might be that the state has decided how it's going to be handled for you. Or worse, somebody goes to court and relies on a judge that doesn't know you to take control of your assets. So the trust allows you to keep that control. And quite frankly, you don't need hundreds of millions of dollars to need a trust. In my opinion, it's just a few small factors, such as you have people you love and that you care about, and you want to make life easy for them, and you want to protect them. And you want to make sure that when they inherit the assets, they're not going to blow it like so many do. Or worse, there's something that happens in their life, like a time of turmoil, divorce, bankruptcy, bad business deal, something that happens that jeopardizes those assets, and you could have easily protected them. I like to think about that protection piece as a big portion. I have 4 young children, all boys. My oldest is 9. And if my wife unfortunately passed away and he inherited $1 million, I know exactly what he would use with that money for. He would buy $1 million of Legos, right?
Right.
And
there was a time in my life where my now 13-year-old might have done the same thing.
But we can protect against that, right? Which seems simple, but extrapolate that out to somebody who could blow the money on a Porsche or other vices in life, or they go through a bad divorce after inheritance and they lose it for that reason. So you could have $500,000. You could have $1 million, and it's still justifiable to have a trust to help create those protections.
While we're talking kids, I think that's another thing that people have a lot of anxiety about, right? What will happen to my kids if something happens to us, right? And you just mentioned, especially if you're handing them more money than they've certainly ever seen in their life, right? So if you leave it up to the will and beneficiaries and other things without setting up some mechanisms of control, right, you open yourself up to a little bit of risk there. You have to make sure that you have the right things in place. Whereas you said, the funds could be placed in sort of like a court-supervised guardianship until they reach the age of maturity, right? And that may not be the best option. You may have clear direction of what you want to have happen, and you know your kids better than any judge is going to. So it would be fair to say that having something set up to protect your minor children would be another really valuable mechanism with a trust?
Absolutely. And even adult children, because of the crazy things that happen in life, right? Like I said, divorce, bankruptcy, bad business deal. The last thing you want is your hard-earned money not being protected for them. And it even goes to spouses, if I could go there. I can't tell you how many clients I sit down with and talk to, and they say, Jeremiah, I love my spouse. I want to give everything to them. And oftentimes I share with them a story about my own grandfather who was married to my grandmother for 50 years. And when my grandmother passed away, they were both 70. And since my grandmother's passing, my grandfather has been married twice, divorced twice, and taken for everything he had twice. And you can protect against that. Actually, one of the big reasons I'm an estate planning attorney is because of the issues my grandfather had and my father pulled me in to help solve for. So it's a significant value that you can provide to say, yes, I want my wife to have all the assets, but I can do so to and protect her from these kind of crazy things that happen. And I will tell you, my grandfather wasn't out there looking for somebody. He just met two bad square dancing partners.
There you go. And it can happen to anybody, right? Mm-hmm. And these days, families look very different. They come in many different forms, right? So you might be part of a blended family where you each have maybe children that you brought with you, right? And the family is blended. And so you may have specific intentions for your kids versus your spouse's kids, or there might be particular divisions that need to have happen. You might be single and you may have significant assets that you'd like to do something with or have your beneficiaries be able to have access to without the hassles of probate or just the rigmarole of having to deal with all of that. That would be another way you could use. Would that be, I guess, a revocable trust as well, where you could control what happens?
Yep. And you hit on the 7-letter ugly word of estate planning, John, probate. Everybody should try to avoid probate. I don't care if it's easy in your state, and we have clients all over the country. And yes, probate's easier in Texas. Yes, probate's easier in Colorado. But probate is still a court-driven process that is public and requires generally an attorney to help facilitate. And no matter how you slice it, it takes time. And it's hard enough to have to deal with the loss of a loved one, but to also have to go through all of that, it's heartbreaking. And I lost both my mom and my mother-in-law over the last year due to health and COVID scenarios. It was heartbreaking to me. I was so happy that I'm in this profession, so I helped make sure that their planning was in good order. But had it not been, and it been dragged out for years, it would have crushed me. So by creating a trust, you can actually avoid probate. And I will be clear, a lot of people think that a will does avoid probate, and that's not the case. A will does not avoid probate. In fact, it requires probate because probate is actually Latin for to prove, and the will must actually be filed with the court and approved by the court if there's any assets that are outside, say, beneficiary designations.
I will geek out a little bit and reveal that my wife is actually a Latin teacher and has a master's degree in classical studies. So I actually knew the root of probate there, believe it or not, because she taught me that to help me understand exactly what probate was. But you're right. The wills are filed with a probate court, right? So they become part of the public record. So one of the other ways a trust may assist you is that it actually, if I understand correctly, it helps keep your estate plan private. It's not part of the public record. And for a lot of people, that privacy is really important.
Absolutely. In fact, I have clients that only go with the trust route solely because they want the privacy. I have a client who is on the East Coast in Massachusetts, lives in a very small town, and has everything wrapped up in a trust in order to create that privacy so that nobody knows when she passes, what assets she has, and who they go to. And in fact, the trust name that she uses is not her name, solely for the purpose of creating privacy. So it's very, very valuable to create that privacy, avoid the probate process. A famous example, because I know everybody likes those, is Prince, someone who didn't do any planning. And we saw his entire estate unfolded in Minnesota because it all went through the probate court. Great for us to see that, but not something that most of our clients want kind of spread out for everyone to see. And that is where and how your assets are held.
Yeah, certainly not something you necessarily want in the local paper, right? So I'll go back to something you said earlier, Jeremiah, which is control. It's about protection and control. And we've mentioned countless times in our conversation here that we all serve clients all over the country here. And so the rules are different state to state, particularly when it comes to real estate. One of the other primary reasons we get asked this question is when people have property. You may have rental properties. You may have multiple residences. You may have inherited yourself land from someone and it's a state you don't live in. There's so many countless scenarios we encounter where real estate is involved, and understanding how that factors into your estate and your overall picture is really, really important. And trusts can be a valuable mechanism there as well to ensure that you have control over what happens, right?
Absolutely. They help to provide a streamlined process for how those assets are controlled. So let's use an example. You live in Pennsylvania, you inherited a ranch in Iowa, and that's now a tangible piece of property sitting in Iowa. that if you passed away would be subject to inheritance tax there. And if you didn't have it wrapped up inside of a trust, a secondary probate proceeding would have to be filed in that state. And that goes for every state. Their nuance is every state has a different estate tax, every state has different laws. But every place you have a piece of real estate, if it's not wrapped in a trust, whoever's handling your estate after you pass will have to file a ancillary probate proceeding in every single one of those states. We actually had a scenario where this happened to a client that we started helping the family after this individual passed. 18 properties, 18 different states, 18 probate cases to wind down this estate. I think it took about 5 years to wrap up. All could have been voided, all could have been wrapped up in about 6 months had it just been a simple revocable trust put in place, place those assets in the trust, minimal cost, very, very beneficial for these siblings who were basically drugged through the death of their father for 5+ years.
Yeah, and that's the thing, right? So there's the, as you said earlier, you're already going through the grieving process, which is challenging enough. Why add to that, right? Why layer in more stress and anxiety for the people you're leaving behind? There are things you can do now to really streamline the process, to avoid a lot of things, to protect the sanctity of your privacy, and to make life a little bit easier. So when it comes to the question of, do I need one? I'll go back to the beginning and say maybe, but do understand that they can be really flexible in how you use them. And it really could help your beneficiaries, protect them from creditors, help with estate planning, help with tax strategies. There's a lot of different things that a well-structured plan, depending on the right type of trust, can really help. Jeremiah, really grateful for you joining me for this conversation today. Before I let you go, any parting words of wisdom for our listeners here?
I will say, don't procrastinate on doing something like this. I think things like the pandemic have really accelerated people's minds towards why an estate plan is key. Interestingly, I have seen that millennials have been the most engaged with doing estate planning that I've ever seen before, which I love. But one of the nice things I love, especially at Mercer, is that we do this holistically. We literally have the ability, we have a law firm that we can actually draft the estate plan. So we've removed one of the biggest barriers to people doing estate planning, where it is that they don't know who to go to, and there's a lot of anxiety around it. So I love the fact that we do it for you. You don't have to say, go find somebody. We can holistically help facilitate all this for you and make sure that you don't have to worry about it on a daily basis. And that's what I love about it, different from private practice when I was working in a silo and only got to see some small piece of it. You get to kind of look at the whole picture. That's a benefit, I will say, to our clients, that we make sure that we wrap that estate plan up in a nice little bow and take care of you.
And I couldn't agree more. I know it's a big part of the reason why our Cordasco team is thrilled to partner with Mercer and be able to deliver some of these solutions for the people that we help. And regardless of whether you're working with us or with others, I think, Jeremiah, your point is really valid. Certainly, the pandemic, I think, has really accelerated or certainly given people a lot of reason to think maybe a little more than they wanted to previously about their own mortality and what could happen if. And so now more than ever, really important that you're getting the questions answered. You're working with a team that can support you to make sure that the right protections are in place, whether it's a trust or just good, sound financial planning, estate planning, to make sure that you are protected and that your intentions are met should something happen to you. Jeremiah Barlow, really thrilled to have you join me today. Thanks so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
If what Jeremiah and I shared with you today has you wondering if you have the right plan in place, if you have questions about trusts or your estate plan or how this all might affect you, our team here at Cordasco Financial Network is here to help. You can reach us anytime at 855-558-3500 or email us at asksteve@cfnplan.com. That's asksteve@cfnplan.com. Thanks so much for listening to the Your Life, Your Wealth show. I'm John Walker. Have a great week.
If you're interested in learning more about applying the principles we discuss to your personal financial circumstances, please visit Cordasco Financial Network at cfnplan.com.